Oh, it's a pig!
Welcome to the Lake Erie Kayak Anglers Podcast, the podcast designed to make you a better angler. I'm Chuck Earls from LakeErieKayakFishing.com. We have Tori Gabriel joining us today. Tori is the fisheries educator and program manager for the Ohio Sea Grant. How you doing today, Tori?
Doing well, Chuck. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So before we get started, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, kind of your adventure, your journey along the way.
Oh, wow. That could be an hour all by itself, right? We'll shorten it. So I'm originally from Ohio, a little bit south of Columbus, born into a family full of biology teachers, actually, and hunters and anglers. And so I was lucky, got to kick around in streams, catching my own bait and fishing from the time I could walk, really. So that really got me into this thing. Both of my parents separately had gone to Stone Laboratory. So I'm sure some of your listeners are familiar with Stone Lab out in the Western Basin. It's Ohio State's Island Laboratory. They had gone up there for college courses. So they became science teachers, and then they used to take their school groups on field trips up to Stone Lab. So I would go with them. And that really led me right back there. So the one thing I always said I'd never do after that experience was be a high school biology teacher. And then I graduated with a couple degrees from Ohio University in Athens that qualified me to be a biology teacher. But instead of going straight into that, I decided to work at Stone Lab for a season. Stone Lab is actually part of the Ohio Sea Grant College program. And so met a couple people there, and actually met a guy, my predecessor, Fred Snyder, who some of your listeners are probably familiar with too. And Fred was actually teaching a Lake Erie sport fishing course. So I got to know Fred pretty well and got some tips from Fred, and ended up, this job came open, and kind of stayed in here and haven't left. That was 2008, I believe. So I've been with Sea Grant in some capacity or another since then.
Yeah, they must have been using really good bait.
Yeah, mostly night crawlers.
Well, I'm excited, man. I think what you guys do over there is really cool. And honestly, I really only know a little bit. So I want to do a deep dive, kind of talk about what Stone Laboratory is and what the Ohio Sea Grant is. And then get into some of the cool programs that that are going to come up in the 2022 season.
Yeah, that sounds great. So I guess I'll start with the Ohio Sea Grant part of the program. So obviously we don't have a sea in Ohio, right? But Sea Grant is patterned after the land grant program. If any of your listeners are familiar with that, that's where like 4-H extension comes from and stuff like that. So that was all based around land resources and getting the information out to the farmers and people that worked with the land and those resources. So then Sea Grant came around with a very similar goal, but all based around water resources. And it originally started on the coast, hence Sea Grant. But obviously pretty quickly, everybody realized that anybody that has a coastline, whether it's saltwater or freshwater, has some important resources to protect and work with and use wisely, right? And so that Sea Grant, no matter where you're at, really has that edict to focus on research, outreach, and education, all around wise use of our aquatic resources. So for us, that's mostly in the Lake Erie watershed and Lake Erie itself, not always. So we're based out of Ohio State University. So we do have some programs throughout the state, but most of it's focused on Lake Erie. Within that, so we have our own group of extension educators. I am one of six extension educators. We're kind of all across Lake Erie's coast. We have a little different topic expertise. Myself, I focus on the fishery. So I work a lot with charter captains, aquatic invasive species prevention, youth education around sport fishing, trying to get people into the sport and kind of care about the resource, right? So that's my passion. That's what I do. But I also supervise the other educators, and they do a ton of different stuff. Probably don't have the time to go into each one of those here, but some of your folks may dock at Clean Marinas. So that's a program through Ohio Sea Grant. Sarah Orlando is one of our staff members. We've got people working on, you know, Cuyahoga County or the Cuyahoga River AOC program, for instance. We have somebody working on marine debris and plastic pollution prevention. Somebody working in the aquaculture realm, and then somebody working on community development, more kind of, again, wise use and business retention and expansion around the water resources. So really broad range of topics, and we all delve in a little bit of everything. But that's kind of the Sea Grant side of things. And then usually more people are more familiar with Stone Lab than Sea Grant itself. And so Stone Lab, our Sea Grant program is really unique in that we have this Stone Lab resource, which, if you're not familiar, is about a 6.5-acre island right off of Put In Bay. If anybody's been to Put In Bay before, you see that little rock when you're looking out from the downtown. I was going to say the bars, but I'm sure your listeners don't frequent bars, right? So it's that little island right out from the downtown area, kind of separating you from the rest of the north side of the lake there. And it's Ohio State's research facility on Lake Erie. I believe it's the oldest freshwater biological field station around. And so it's been around for a long time. Sea Grant's led the program for decades now. In the spring and the fall, a typical use is field trips. Like I mentioned earlier, that's what I grew up with, my parents taking their students. So high school field trips and junior high field trips will go up there. But in the summer, it's actually kind of a college campus, and they offer college courses at Stone Lab.
They do. Do they still do the field trips?
They do. Yep, they do. And they're awesome. And, you know, it's tough for a lot of schools to travel there. But if anybody listening is an educator or knows an educator and they haven't had that opportunity, I would strongly consider looking into it, because it really gets, I mean, kids literally get out on a research vessel. They sample for plankton. They do water quality and clarity and all kinds of measurements. And then at the end of the boat session, they pull a trawl and they'll actually catch fish, identify fish. And then they'll end up taking those samples back to the lab and looking at their plankton samples and identifying the stuff that's in there, or taking their fish, and they'll actually dissect the fish. And a lot of times they'll get the heart. If you can get, so they terminate the fish all through university protocol, right? But they do it right before they dissect it. And so that heart can actually still be beating sometimes. And so it's, a lot of times you can put that little fish heart right on your wrist, and believe it or not, it'll pick up kind of your pulse rate sometimes. And so just watching these kids go through these and seeing these things is just like, man, it is just a really cool experience.
That sounds like an awesome experience. I wish I would have had the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
I'll definitely drop a link in the description. Make it easy for the educators. If this is something that you think you'd like to do, just click the link, talk to Tori, and we'll get you set up.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Absolutely. So aside from like the field trips and the college campus, is there any opportunities for somebody like me or one of the listeners to come to an event or come check out the Stone Laboratory?
Yeah, there are. So it's especially during the field trip programs and during the summer, as you can imagine, on a 6-acre island, there's not a lot of space. So opportunities are rare. And, you know, I should have looked this up before I came in here. I don't know if the dates are scheduled or the days are scheduled. And COVID's obviously messed up Stone Lab's schedule the last couple of years. But this year, we're definitely going to be open. They're going to be open at a little bit different capacity, but they still will be open. I believe they're still planning to do public tours. And so it's been the last few years they were able to. On a Wednesday, you could actually meet at the boardwalk there at South Bass Island. and take the Boardwalk Water Taxi over and actually take a tour of Gibraltar Island, a guided tour of the island. That's mostly during the summer months. So definitely head to Ohio Sea Grant Stone Labs website to look for that announcement. But then there's also some workshops. And so I'd mentioned Fred Snyder earlier in teaching a Lake Erie sport fishing course. So that's a phys ed course through Ohio State University. Unfortunately, that's one of the courses that got cut this year. I actually usually teach that one. But we also have a workshop about Lake Erie sport fishing. And so that's open to more than just students. Usually it's more adults, and that's usually more beginner anglers. So I assume most of your anglers are pretty well acclimated to fishing Lake Erie. But if you have anybody that's not, that's looking to get into the sport, or if any of your listeners know somebody that's looking into it, we actually have a few openings left for the Lake Erie Sport Fishing Workshop, which is May 20th through the 22nd this year.
And I'm sure they could just head over to the website and find the registration for that. I'll make sure to list all this stuff in the description. That way you could just click a link and get to where you need to go.
Yeah. And if you have any trouble with that, there should be contacts there. So I don't have the registration information. I can't register anyone in myself, but I'm happy to answer questions and send you to the right people if anybody has any trouble with that.
Yeah. And you sent me a link to everybody that works in your program. I'll drop that link as well, just in case somebody has a question, you know, specific to one of the programs, so that they can reach out to the right person.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be great.
So one of the things that intrigued me was you put on, or your organization puts on the Ohio 4-H Sea Camp, which is this year is July 15th through the 17th. And that's for ages 15 to 17.
So it's actually longer than that. So through the 15th through the 19th, and it's for ages 15 to 17. So, so Sea Camp's been going on a long time. Again, unfortunately, due to COVID, we haven't been able to have it so we couldn't have it the year before COVID, and then COVID hit us when we were trying to restart it. But before that, it had run for like 40 years, a little over 40 years. So it's been around for a while. And it's a partnership through Sea Grant, but also 4-H. And we get DNR watercraft officers. We've got some folks from Cleveland Metro Parks and Youth Outdoors that usually come out and help us, if you're familiar with their program. So a bunch of people really love water, really love outdoor recreation. And we've got this program where kids from all over the state come out, and a lot of times literally all over the state. So a lot of times these are kids that grew up in 4-H, you know, showing hogs or cows or chickens or something. They've never seen Lake Erie. So their parents have never seen Lake Erie. So a lot of times it's fun to watch them drop kids off at the docks, you know, and just be like, wow, like I can't even believe, you know, Chuck, we're spoiled, right? Like we get to see this almost every day, and it's not something that most people get to see. It's just an amazing resource. So watching these people see it and their eyes lighten up, and then we get the kids over to Kelly's Island, and kids live on, there's a 4-H camp on Kelly's Island. So they live at the 4-H camp, have all their meals there. And then we take them, run them through the ringer really of activities. So we get them out kicking seines and doing aquatic biology sampling. I teach them how to make lures, and they can get out and use their own lures. We do all kinds of water recreation. So the watercraft folks get them on PWCs and learn the rules of the road. If they pass their tests, they actually leave with their Ohio boating license. Teach them all the knots and all the safety about running outboard motors and all kinds of fun stuff. Lately, they've gotten into to kayaking. So kayaking is a big segment. A little bit of sailing, they try to teach them. We'll even go fossil hunting through the quarry there in Kelly's Island, if you've ever been there. Kind of orienteering there as well. So just a whole big variety of topics. And then all culminating in what we call the adventure day. And then they get to choose what their adventure is, but most of them go charter fishing. So we actually get them out on a boat and get them catching fish. We work with several charter captains that have been with the program for some of them for decades. And then some of them get to go to Stone Lab for that field trip experience we talked about earlier. Some of them do a kayak tour around the entire island of Calais. And so there's a handful of things. Some years there's a sailing charter. Used to do snorkeling. Unfortunately, we're not doing snorkeling this year, but that was one of the adventures as well. So all kinds of stuff, really just taking kids that haven't been able to have these experiences before and getting them really hands-on. And then the end of that adventure day is probably one of the most dangerous things that I do, because I teach all of the kids how to fillet the fish. Everybody gets turned. And let's say we could use some higher quality fillet knives. and first timers, you know, that. So we actually haven't had too many big issues, but that's an experience for folks too, right? And first time getting to cut a fish, and then we take those fish and we have a fish dinner with them. So as fresh as possible. So really kind of a whole Lake Erie focused experience.
There's so many different facets in this fishery. I think it's amazing that you guys have put something together where these kids get to experience, you know, all the little things that really make it, I don't know, man, one of the best places on earth.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I believe you 100%. And I mean, that's kind of the whole goal, right? Like, and that's kind of my goal as a fisheries educator, right? Too, like, bigger than just 4-H sea camp. Like, it's all about getting people. I mean, everybody wants to go out and catch big fish, right? Or most people want to go out and catch big fish, but it's really that understanding, like, what goes into making that big fish, right? And how do you better catch that big fish? What kind of tools do you need? What kind of knowledge do you need to understand that? But yeah, going back even further, like, why do they live here? What is Lake Erie? Why is it so productive? Like, is it, you know, people still have that dead lake image of Lake Erie sometimes too, if they're not used to it. And we know, you know, we have harmful algal blooms. We have some issues still, but it's nothing like some people still think it is. I mean, this is literally the walleye capital of the world. I know a couple other states in the Midwest say that, but you go to the Miller Ferry here in the Western Basin this time of year, and you'll start to see those license plates from all those other Midwestern states, right? I mean, we are pretty undisputed the walleye capital of the world. And like you said, though, there's a lot more facets to that too, right? I mean, the bass fishing and the both largemouth and smallmouth, and even in the harbors, you got the bluegills and the crappies. And I mean, it's just unbelievable. It really is. So yeah, getting them in to care about that stuff and really expanding their knowledge to really grow into adults that care about the resource and make decisions with that in mind, right?
Yep. And, you know, I think having all that knowledge and that understanding of the fishery really makes you a solid angler, you know, because anybody can go out and catch a big fish, you know, but to do it consistently and to understand the fishery and to add to that, to know when you see something going wrong, you know, early on, and then you know the resources, you know who you got to talk to.
Yeah,
because like you said, I mean, Lake Erie has came a long way. It's very clean now. The rivers are very healthy. You know, I like to think that we're an example for the rest of the world, or at absolutely least the rest of the country.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. 100%. It is. I am not aware of a more impressive turnaround, really, especially in a relatively short amount of time. Right. I mean, the whole Cuyahoga River burning thing was in 69, right? And then 70 was the EPA was formed, and then 72 Clean Water Act. I mean, it was just boom, boom, boom. And then by the 80s, you know, the lake's just chock full of walleye. And we've had, you know, again, I know we're dealing with harmful algal bloom issues, but we're working with a lot of partners on trying to figure those out too. And it's certainly not hurting the walleye population right now.
Right. Right. Over what, 150 million walleye?
Well, it's, yeah, I'd have to look at the newest numbers. They just had those meetings in March or just last week, actually, with the updated numbers. So I'd have to get the updated number. But yeah, definitely well over 100 million walleyes. So just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So one of the other things that you do is a charter captain conference. And I think I just missed that.
Yep. But you can find that on YouTube. That was recorded and posted to our YouTube channel. Ohio Sea Grant has their own YouTube channel. And that's an annual event too. So unfortunately, the last couple of years that has had to go virtual. It's usually an in-person event. That's another one that's gone on for over 40 years. So my predecessor, Fred Snyder, started that one too. And I'm just kind of stewarding it at this point. But a lot of captains look at it, especially when it's the in-person event, as kind of the unofficial kickoff of the season. We usually try to have it the first weekend in March, before the weather's too warm and people are really out working on their boats and getting them ready for the water, you know, some years even getting on the water. So usually it's still a little cold for that. So folks can take a Saturday and come out and kind of meet old friends, you know, and we usually have vendors around the table. So you can look into some new gear and buy some new stuff for the upcoming season. And obviously the main event is the speakers. And so we've got a lot of speakers from a variety of agencies to talk about a variety of topics. And it's really well supported by, we do it in partnership with the Lake Erie Charter Boat Association. So we usually work with their board to kind of develop the agenda every year. But then it's also really well supported by the Department of Natural Resources, and particularly the Division of Wildlife. So we've got the Lake Erie biologists will come and give updates on what happened last year with the fishery and what they think is happening this year with the fishery, and law enforcement giving updates. And we usually have Customs and Border Protection and the Coast Guard there to talk about safety and regulations and anything that's changed in that area. And then depending on the year, you know, we have some rotating speakers, and we'll talk about big research topics that I've heard from captains that they'd want to listen about. But also things like we often have speakers on insurance. We've tried to get folks in there to talk about taxes, you know, licensing, more business marketing related topics, because, again, it's more than just catching a fish, right? The charter captains are, we also recently did a survey that Ohio Sea Grant does every 5 or 10 years, just kind of look at the economics of the charter industry. And there's something like, out of 800 some licensed captains, there was like 700 and some businesses. So most captains are running their own business with a single boat, right? Which probably isn't surprising, but that's a lot of small businesses. There's definitely a need to have this information and a want for those guys to be there. So yeah, it's a very successful program. The good thing about it being virtual is that we were able to record it. That's a lot harder to do in person, right? So virtual, we could just press the button and get it posted. So if you want to see those speakers, we kind of did a quick version of it this year. Usually it's a full day, somewhere between like 9 and 3 or something like that. But obviously it's harder to keep your attention online. So this year, I think we had it in a 2.5 hour period or something like that. So it won't take you a whole day to watch it, but there's definitely, you can pick and choose and see the speakers you want to see if you check that out.
Nice. I'll drop that down in the description as well.
Great.
So you sent me a link. You'd actually given me a book that broke down all the invasive species on Lake Erie.
Yeah.
You know, and I was familiar with some of them just through a couple of books that I had read and a little bit of research, but it was very intriguing. And then you sent me a digital link, which is great, because I was always worried about how do I take that thing out on the kayak? It's going to get wet. It's going to get ruined. But, you know, with the digital link, I could just open it up, boom, and there's the resource.
Yeah.
So I'll drop that in the description below, but I want to give you an opportunity to talk about that as well.
Yeah. So that I can't take full credit for that, because I have a good friend in Pennsylvania Sea Grant who had actually did all the grunt work and put that together for Pennsylvania. So she did an amazing job, and it was such a great resource that the aquatic invasive species leader for Ohio DNR saw that and came to me and said, "Hey, Pennsylvania Sea Grant did this. Can we do something similar?" And I basically said, "Yes, if we can steal all of her work." And Sea Grant programs usually work pretty well together. So she was actually pretty cool with that. So obviously making sure to give her credit whenever possible. But those of you that might be near Pennsylvania or around Pennsylvania, check out that guide as well. Pennsylvania Sea Grant has an aquatic invasive species field guide.
And what was her name?
her name is Sarah Stallman. Sarah Stallman with Pennsylvania Sea Grant. And she's actually my counterpart out there. So she's the program leader of their extension staff.
We might have to invite her on a future podcast.
Yeah, for sure. She does a ton of stuff. She's awesome. She's actually located in Erie. So at the Tom Ridge Environmental Center, I believe is, and if you've never been there, that's a really cool place to visit if you're out that way. But yeah, so the guide itself, Ohio has an Ohio AIS group. So AIS is short for aquatic invasive species. Sorry, we use too many acronyms in the academic world. But so we went to that committee and kind of took the work that Pennsylvania and Sarah had done and got down to the species that we wanted, because some of them obviously are different than some of the ones we have here and are concerned about here. So we don't have all of the invasive species in it, but we have some of most concern. Some of them, for instance, like common carp, are everywhere. They're not going to do anything about it. So we have little icons that say, you know, we don't need to report this. We know this is everywhere. But then there's other ones like for silver carp, one of the Asian carp species that folks have heard of, I'm sure. You know, if somebody thinks they've seen one of those, we need to know about it so that we can confirm it if that's really what it is, and then make sure to kind of nip that in the bud before it becomes a big problem. So just one example, but we do have a variety of not only fish, but invertebrates as well, and plants, and there's a variety of invasives. And unfortunately, us as anglers, and really anybody that's doing recreation in the water, can spread them fairly easily if we're not paying attention and if we're moving from water body to water body. So that's usually prevention is key. Once an invasive species get in somewhere and kind of proliferates, it's really hard to get rid of, almost impossible in most cases. And it costs a lot of money to do it anyway. So the best thing to do is to keep them out. And as individuals, the best way to do that is to clean, drain, and dry your equipment. So especially if you're trailering a motorboat, things like your outboard motor itself, but also where your boat meets that trailer. Your jack wheel a lot of times can get mud or aquatic vegetation on that from the ramp. Obviously your live well, make sure you're draining your live well and your bilge. If there's any mud on your anchor, if you happen to use that or a power pole or something, make sure those are cleaned off as well, because all of those, believe it or not, could harbor invasive species. Some of them are microscopic, but they cause big, big problems.
Yeah. One thing I learned from you and also Michael Dirkelek was, you know, after a trip, take your boots, rinse that mud off, rinse your kayak off, rinse all that stuff off, because you don't know, you might have picked up a seed. Yep. Maybe it's a small pond or somewhere, you know, that's kind of secluded and cut off from the rest of the world. Well, now you just took that seed that's stuck in the mud in your boot and you just walked over to the next place and you might have created a major issue. Yeah. You know, like Michael Dirkelek said, an ounce of prevention is worth 1,000 pounds of the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a great point.
That is definitely on the spot. And I hate to give credit to Mike, but I guess I have to here. I'm just kidding. Mike's a good friend. Former stone labber, actually, I believe. So yeah. He's dead on there though. And I know one of the big ones, just for an example around you right now, is there's a plant called hydrilla that's been in a couple of the Cleveland Metro Parks areas. And that stuff causes, really just kind of takes over and eliminates access areas, and it can be habitat for some species, but it totally takes over so instead of having a bunch of different native plants, you just have this one super concentrated invasive. And so it eliminates a lot of habitat for others. And they can spread with just fragments of a plant. So not just seeds, but sometimes even fragments of vegetation. So that's, make sure any fragment of any vegetation or any of that stuff you see in your boats or on your boats or trailers or boots or any of that stuff, just make sure you leave it at that access before you leave. And then, yeah, if you can, drain all your stuff and then dry it. So if you can sit something in the sun for a few days, that usually is going to kill most aquatic organisms.
would you think it would be a good idea just to run it through the car wash real quick, spray off the outside of the boat or the kayak? I mean, I know it's putting it down into the sewer system, but at least it's keeping it from transferring to another place. But then again, it's traveling through the sewer system. So,
Ben, that's a good point. So it probably depends on where that sewer system is, right? But I would say, especially if you could find a car wash or boat wash in that watershed, right? Those are going to still be in the watershed. So the real problem is if you, and that's why, like, when you pull your boat out, you remove that drain plug right there at the access point, right? In other states, it's actually illegal to leave that drain plug in. And that's why, I mean, you got to pull that plug right there and let the stuff drain, because it's going to get back into that water or back into that watershed. But when you're talking about a big lake like Lake Erie anyway, that's going to go right back in. So try to do that in as close to the watershed as you can. But yes, that's definitely a good idea. There are actually some, and I don't think we have any in Ohio yet that I know of, but there are some private companies that have developed boat wash equipment stations, basically, that will have them at boat ramps. And so they'll have like hooks, you know, like rakes almost, that you can reach up under, because, you know, you got a bigger boat, sometimes it's hard to get your hand all the way under there and grab that vegetation from the bunks. So hooks that'll help you kind of hook that stuff off, and also sprayers to help you spray it off. And you do want to hit right where the boat meets the bunk a lot of times, because that's where things get sandwiched in there. But yeah, absolutely. Spraying it off with high pressure. And if you can, even hot water will help too. But that's usually not available at boat car washes.
One thing that I know there's a couple of kayak anglers that do is you take like a, I don't know, 4-inch piece of PVC, seal on some caps, put a spigot so you can actually fill it with water, and then put a spigot on the other side, right? Hook it up to a hose. And then you just take an air compressor and you pressurize it. And maybe it's a couple of gallon of water, but it's enough to rinse your kayak off, you know, at the boat ramp without worrying about plugging it in. Or you could even go further. If you put it on your trailer, you could just hook up just a regular bilge pump, you know, from a boat. Wire it up to a switch on your trailer, just hit the thing. You got a couple of gallons of clean water to rinse that off and leave that stuff, you know, at the boat ramp.
Yeah, that's awesome. I haven't heard of that. That's kind of ingenious. I like that.
I think there's a DIY YouTube video on it. I have to shoot over to you.
Yeah, please do. I'm writing it down, but yeah, for sure.
It'd be great for boats too.
Yeah.
Maybe even somebody could come out with a system like that, portable system, you know, a boat wash system.
Right. Yeah, that'd be great. I'll look into it for sure.
You know, I never really realized the impact of the invasive species really until I read, there's a book called The Death and Life of the Great Lakes. I think it's by Dan Egan.
Egan. Yep.
Yeah. Awesome book. If you haven't read that book yet, definitely check it out. I'll drop that in the description as well. But is there any other books that you would recommend on the fishery, or, you know, anything that I could read and find value and just we can grow our knowledge?
Yeah, man, you're putting me on the spot. So Michigan Sea Grant actually came out with a book a few years ago. I'm going to have to do a Google search here and see if I can find the actual title of it for your listeners. But they have a pretty good book that's really all about the Great Lakes as a whole, and kind of compares all of the different Great Lakes and their issues, but also their positives. It's a really cool book. So I'll definitely have to get that for you. I'm not thinking it off the top of my head. But I would say, so I don't know about books. Dan Egan's book is pretty well cited by a lot of folks, right? So you hit the nail on the head with that one. But then I would say, check out our fact sheets on our Ohio Sea Grant website, right? They're not books, which could be, you know, a positive in some cases. You can read through a fact sheet pretty quick, but we have a pretty wide range of fact sheets that go back over the years on a variety of topics that are really educational, to the point. So I would recommend that. And then you could branch out. I mean, we're not unique at Ohio Sea Grant in that capacity, right? I mean, that's kind of what Sea Grant educators do. Any lake or state that you might travel to, in the Great Lakes anyway. So inland states don't have Sea Grant programs, but all of the Great Lakes states do. So if you travel to any of those and you have questions about those issues, I'd say use those Sea Grant resources. There's a lot of good information in your Sea Grant, folks.
Awesome. I'm going to break down a couple of the links in the description. That way it's easy to find those resource sheets and the programs and stuff like that. I'll list everything out. That way it's easy to find. And then when you find that book, just shoot it over to me. I'll drop that down there as well. Well, last question I have for you is what can I do and what can the listeners do to help support the Ohio Sea Grant and Stone Laboratories and the fishery?
So before I answer that question, it is called The Life of the Lakes is the name of that book from Michigan Sea Grant. So sorry to interrupt your question there, but The Life of the Lakes, A Guide to the Great Lakes Fishery. And as far as what you can do to support Ohio Sea Grant and Stone Lab, really just if you see a program in your area, or if you have any questions, just use us as a resource, right? We are here to serve the public and private. You know, we're here to work with businesses and the public alike. So use us as a resource, get to know us. We're happy to help you out in any way we can. And then you know, when it comes time, I should have said this earlier, we're actually part of NOAA. So we're each Sea Grant university, each Sea Grant program within that state is usually within its land grant university. So that's why we're at Ohio State. But a big part of our funding comes federally through NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Unfortunately, that means a lot of our funding is tied to federal dollars, right? Sea Grant, a lot of our money is in that grant. And sometimes we need to ask for support, right? We're usually pretty well supported, but your support certainly helps. So in that manner would help as well. And obviously, I wouldn't expect any of your listeners to just bang the drum for us if they haven't met us yet. So again, reach out if you have any questions. If there's anything we can help you with, please get in contact with us. If you're talking monetarily, of course Ohio State and Sea Grant has a donate button on the website if you want to visit that. But really, I would say just come see us. You know, if we're giving a talk somewhere, we're usually when the boat shows in person, we had a booth there. Sarah Orlando had a booth with Clean Marinas, Clean Boaters there. So we're around at those shows and come out to Stone Lab, take a tour once those are up and running again. Just come see us, call us, work with us. That's probably the best way to do it.
I do want to point out one thing that I realized is a need. You definitely need some new fillet knives for the sea camp. So if anybody has some really good fillet knives laying around, they want to donate them to the 4-H sea camp, you know, yeah, for the youngsters to learn how to fillet fish, definitely get a hold of Tori.
Yeah, I will. I could put those to good use. That's for sure. That is for sure.
You know, the absolute best way to have a walleye is to go out there, catch it, fillet it, and have it in the pan a couple hours later.
Oh man, it's amazing. And they actually do. So one of the really cool things about Sea Camp is just, I had mentioned all those people that get brought in. But then going back to that broader extension thing that I talked about, right? So we've got 4-H educators that are doing awesome stuff. And that's at the 4-H camp. We're teaching them how to fillet these fish. They actually bring in most years, a family and consumer sciences educator. And so they actually come in and teach the kids. You know, we have like the kids get to leave with a recipe book of the multiple ways. So they don't just, you know, chunk up the walleyes and toss them in the frying pan. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I honestly prefer that personally, but I mean, they'll actually make some recipes. They usually keep the couple of biggest walleyes and just have me gut them, and then they'll stuff them and make a stuffed walleye, you know, with the whole fish on a plate. It's really impressive looking thing. Kind of freaks some of the kids out, but a breadth of knowledge and experiences there for the kids. So yeah, it's a cool thing. And you're right, man, there is nothing better than pulling a fish out of the water and getting them on a plate in a matter of a couple of hours.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. You guys have so many cool things coming on. Tori, thanks for joining me today, man.
Yeah, no problem.
I really appreciate everything that you guys do over there and everything you do, the energy and the passion. I can see you have a massive passion for this.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's what it's all about. And I mean, you're the same way, right? We met a couple months ago at the Steelhead Expo and just really enjoyed talking to you. And not just about fishing, but just the resources that are out there, right? And getting other people involved and just letting people know, again, how spoiled we really are, right? And trying to spoil them too. Like, come experience it, man. If you're not out there, get people into it. I actually end all of my presentations with a slide of my kids. So I have three kids. I've got two nephews that do a lot of fishing with us. And so I always end every slide with pictures of them holding fish or petting fish or something, you know, it's a take a kid fishing. And I truly mean it, right? It doesn't have to be fishing if that's not your thing. If you're into kayaking but not fishing, cool, get them kayak. Get them outside. Get them involved with Lake Erie one way or the other. But yeah, I end every talk, take a kid fishing, because I mean, you can literally change your life. And that's really how you change the world, you know? Sounds a little sappy, but people aren't going to do anything if they don't care about it. And the best way I know to get people to care about something is to get them involved. So it's a good way to do it.
You got to expose them. You know, a lot of times people are so busy, they don't really know what opportunities are around them or what they're missing out on. Right. You know, and people like you and I, we know what the magic is.
Yeah.
And it's so magical. You just want to share it with whoever's willing to, you know, seize it.
Yep.
Like, there's a lot of guys out there or a lot of people out there just walking the beach, picking up beach glass, sometimes shark tooth, arrowheads, you know, all kinds of stuff. And most importantly, they're picking up trash along the way too.
Yep.
You know, because Lake Erie, it's a big body of water. So when you walk up to the beach or you walk up to the boat ramp and you're like, wow, look at all the trash. Well, what was the weather like? The wind was probably blowing out of the north for a couple of days, right? So that trash could have been floating out there for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I noticed that a couple of years ago, and I realized Lake Erie just tries to clean itself. So when you're walking the shoreline, you're walking around, you know, help her out, pick up that trash, take a couple of minutes and just do your part, because you'll be rewarded.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Always leave it better than you found it, right? I was a Boy Scout growing up, earned my Eagle Scout badge, and that's definitely one of the things you learn. Leave it better than you found it.
Yep. Hey, man. Thanks for joining me today.
No problem. Thanks for having me. And anybody has any questions about any of those programs or anything Lake Erie in general, feel free to reach out to me. And if I can't answer you, I'll send you to somebody who can, I promise.
Awesome. Everything that we talked about, your contact information, it'll all be down in the description. So definitely check out those resources.
Great. Thanks, cool. Chuck.
Thanks, man. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the show. Don't forget to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening app. We will see you on the next episode. And remember, for me, fishing is life. Thank you.